accession number 19601, Reel 1.
July 21st, 1999, Colonel John McGregor interviewing James Fleming. James, where were you born?
I was born in Perth.
And what date?
18th of
January 1933.
66 past. Yes.
Now, why did you join the Black Watch?
Well, as a young boy in the regimental depot being here, it was sort of second nature, you know. That was before the war, you know, when you used to admire the Black Watch soldiers, you know, coming out the barracks, the depot there, and marching down with their kilts and their swagger canes, and, you know, then during the war, it was, you know, things was really hotting up then. You know, with all sorts of regiments, but it was still the Black Watch depot, and they'd done all their training and all that down the North Inch, and our house where we lived up in Fairfields now, used to look over the firing ranges and seeing the soldiers doing their training and all that, you know, so it was more or less advanced cowboys and Indians, you know, real live ammunition in that were fine, so I was indoctrinated at a very early age to rifle fire.
And so what age were you when you joined?
I was 17 and a half.
17 and a half.
I joined in Dundee at Caird Hall.
Yes.
And sent to the Highland Brigade Training Centre at Fort George.
And what year was that?
1950.
1950. Just then. Good. And had you other members of your family served in the Black Watch?
I had an uncle, two uncles served in the Black Watch. One was taken prisoner at, you know, at St. Barley, I believe. And the other one, he was when the regiment embarked for France in 1939, he took pneumonia and was sick. So when the regiment embarked, he stayed in Dover. I think it was Dover Castle they were in. And, well, the result was, if you know, you know what happened to the Highland Division.
Yes.
But he was lucky one way. He was left, so he got transferred to the Royal Scots.
So you knew all that part of the history before you joined?
Oh, yes, yes. I knew of them being prisoners and, yes, you know, that sort of thing.
How did you take to the training? You went to Fort George?
Fort George, yes. The training, well, like everybody else, is, it was something new, but it was exciting, you know. And the weather wasn't too kind, of course. It was getting on for October, November time, and I remember my first main gate guard there, review order, of course, and kilts up all over neck, you know, being very stormy up there. But however, I managed to do the training and passed out, and I was posted to the 1st Battalion, Black Watch in Berlin. Colonel Ferguson. I don't know,
Colonel Bernard Ferguson.
He used to. That was my marvellous man.
And tell me, what was your impression when you joined the 1st Battalion in Berlin?
Oh, I was very excited. There was a lot of older soldiers there that had been, you know, campaigners during the war, desert, and, you know, even before the war, being in India and all that sort of thing, you know. And to just be among these fellas and hear some of the stories and that were, you know, awe-inspiring.
Yes.
Yes, and, you know, but the time in Berlin was more of security and guards. I mean, we used to go on guard for, you know, like ammunition dumps and this sort of thing. And there was unrest among the German people, of course, too. You know, and the place was flattened, you know, up, wasn't built up much after the war. And there was, you know, they had what you call internal security. You know, you had to get dressed up in your, you know, full marching order and rifle and get down to the quell the riots, you know, this sort of thing. And I remember one time called out, you know, they were IS platoon, you had a platoon, and down to the city, and they were rioting. And I remember once, you know, I got a clod right in the face. You know, oh, knock me out, you know, clod or dirt or whatever it was, and that was me, you know. Not like nowadays, they start firing bullets at you and all this sort of thing, so that was my experience there. And then as the guards, of course, main gate guards, other guards, you know, pickets and all that sort of thing. More security, of course. Lots of security. Different, you know, buildings and that sort of thing.
You find it interesting, the work?
Well, very interesting, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And what about training as a young soldier?
Well, I was posted to the mortar platoon and then enjoyed that very much. And we used to go, you know, after the training, you know, it was no live ammunition, but the powers that be, you know, the colonel and the brigadier went to get some live training. So once we went embarked, well, and the Senelager, which was a big firing range, so the whole regiment and firing, you know, over mortars and machine guns, you know, I was in the support company, and, you know, there was the mortar platoon, anti-tank platoon, machine gun platoon, and then, of course, the infantry companies were all, you know, doing their stuff in the ranges at Senelager. And there was these big tanks and everything. They were, you know, big, big, massive exercise, which was more or less like the real thing, only there was nothing coming back at you at that time, you know. But very exciting, kind of as a young man, I mean, 18, 19, and all this going on around about you, you know. It's no 2 days alike, you know.
That's cool. What size of mortar did you have?
Three-inch mortars.
Three-inch mortar.
And they had, well, the infantry, the platoons had the two-inch mortars. But we were the heavy stuff, you know. Well, my first experience, you know, boom, 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 all this going on. But, yeah, very exciting.
When it came to going out in the town, off duty, as it were, how did you find the reaction of the people that you met, the German people?
Well, personally myself, I always got on very well with the German people. I mean, as a matter of fact, I learned to speak quite a good bit of German from the German people and make myself understood. And of course, like every British soldier, the first thing they learn to do is transfer the currency. You know, we were paid in what you call bars, mm-hmm. British Army vouchers, and you could change these for the German mark. So that was the first thing you got to learn, you know, the equivalent between, and then you got to learn what a thing costs, you know, in German, you know.
Yes.
Many marks or pfennigs and that sort of thing.
How long were you with the 1st Battalion in Berlin?
I was here from 1950 to 50. We got posted, the regiment got posted to Korea, and then we went from there to Creole.
Yeah, did you, hold it a minute, from Berlin did you go directly to Korea?
Well, we got, had to get kitted out, we came back, the regiment came back to Creole.
Yeah, yes.
Ken and Creole in 5. And then we got kitted out, and we were there a couple of months, got embarkation leave, and then sailed on Empire Orwell, you know.
To Korea.
We went down to Southampton on the train, you know, and then troop ship. Well, there's lots of regiments here.
What was the troop ship like?
Oh, well, have you ever been in a troop ship where there's a lot of, well, down below, and when you get, I think it's past the Red Sea and the heat that's on, and you're down in the, and there's maybe hundreds of troops, and oh, you're glad to get rid of it. But however, we all survived. I mean, we were well looked after. We were well led. I mean,
how long did the voyage take?
Well, I think it took about 6 weeks. 4 weeks, 6 weeks, something like that. I can't just
tell you. Long way.
It was a long way. And of course, life wasn't dull on the voyage. I mean, you were up and praying in the morning, and you know, once you got your bunk made up and bed, and then you were training, and you know, you'd done your training, even going into action, you know, you're a part of the deck for your practice, you know, training and other infantry's loading and firing and all this sort of thing. Targets, man.
Were you still a mortar platoon man then?
Yes, I was a mortar in Korea as well, aye. Yeah. Right, so you're right, aye.
So, what was your impression when you arrived in Korea?
Well, you're into a different life again, Far East, and you know, it was all up heel. You know, we marched through Busan, you know, the colonel of the regiment, and, you know, you didn't see a lot then, but, you know, you're trying to get a look at what you're up against, you know, and on the train and all the way up, you know, so
on your way up to the front line?
Well, up to the echelon, you know, yes. And then you get sort of kit it out again, you know. Draw your pop tents and all this sort of thing. You can remember that. First night we were there, went 2-man pop tents. Of course, inexperienced.
What is a pop tent?
A wee 2-man tent, just like a little tent. Pop tent, that's what they call them, pop tents.
Pup tent.
Is that, was it? Anyway, first night we were there, came rural camp, the whole company, support company, was camped on the hillside, you know, and, you know, down at maybe near the bottom, and here there's a deluge of rain, and we were unwise to this, and all the water was running into the tent, you know, all soaking, all your tent, everything. Nearly washed away, you know, like the monsoon season. I think it was about June or July. Just in time for the monsoons, you know. But anyway, once we, first night, we got flying, dug little channels around the tent so the water was run by the tent, you know, after you dried out. And then from there it was, you know, we were in the firing line again, you know.
And that was the first time you were under enemy fire?
Well, not the one in fire, but the next one, but then we moved up, and exact details is a little hazy in my mind here, but, you know, after maybe a week or so, or a couple of weeks sort of thing, once you got acclimatised, you have to get acclimatised to this sort of conditions, you know. And
then you were under...
We were in two or three places, you know, on the line, just to get, you know,
yes,
holding and getting a feel of the thing, you know.
And what do you remember of the first time you had enemy fire coming back?
Oh, that was in the Battle of the Hook. We were on the Hook, we'd been there a while, a couple of weeks, I can't remember, a long time, but then that night, this is when they decided to put their strength up against the Black Watch, you know, try us out sort of thing, you know, so... I was in the mortar platoon, you know, and it was a terrible night. We were firing away. Half the things I never heard, you know, the shells coming over, but we were at the bottom of the hill, and, you know, the forward companies was up the top of the hill. We were firing over their heads, or, you know, anyway, they're coming back over the top of us, and I couldn't hear much for that. You know, the mortars was rapid fire. You're talking about 15, 20 mortar bombs off your thing in the air at once. When for the first one, you know, no time to crouch down. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And then lining up again, trying to line it up in the dark. Of course, it's pitch dark, and they're barking orders at you, and, you know, confusion all over the place. You know, you've no time to think about yourself much in that sort of situation. And it was really an experience. You know, I wouldn't want to go through it again. Anyway, I'll tell you that.
How long were you on active service in Korea? You remember?
I was there the full time. I was in the regiment all the time. I was there when they marched through Busan, and we did our whole service. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it was over a year we were there, and I was there when they marched back through again. Mm-hmm. And I might say this, there was very few of the original battalion, those who went up, came back. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not saying that a lot of us, time was finished and all that sort of thing, but... It was just a handful of the original that came out in the boat that went back on the... What was that? What ship? Tully, the Empire Tully. Mm-hmm. Then we went to there, then we were posted to Kenya. So
Did you go directly from Korea to Kenya?
Yes, that's right.
Can you remember the year you landed in Kenya?
Yes, well, I was just going to mention that, you know, we came fit in the boat and exercise and all that, and I got a call for to report to the commanding officer, you know, properly dressed I was on commanding officer's orders at, 12 o'clock or something like that, you know, and Julie gets up on orders, wondering, you know, in the order, what have I done here, you know, I got interviewed and he told me he'd like me to take over the job as a post corporal and be in charge of the battalion's mail, seeing we're going to Kenya and that, you know. And of course, he asked me what I wanted, so I accepted.
What rank did you have as
corporal? And little did he tell me that there was a whole boatload of parcels and mail to be sorted out, you know. Stuff that had come by boat and to Busan, you probably know, and they all loaded up, so he gave me an assistant when we got to Kenya, and days sorting out all this, you know, papers and, you know, parcels and all this sort of thing, and delayed mail, of course, you know, when this sort of thing, when you're not to service, things get held up. So we eventually got it all sorted out. All this mail in Kenya, you know.
It would give you pleasure to be giving letters to people.
Oh, why? Well, I later on, the commanding officer and the adjutant impressed upon me that the mail was very, very important, and not to delay. That was Colonel Rose, and the adjutant was, I think, Major Nickel or Captain Nickel, something like that. Anyway, not to delay one letter or get off right away to the troops, you know, see that they got their mail. It was he emphasised that very strongly. That.
And what did you see of the action of the battalion in Kenya? What was its main role?
It was the main role the companies were seeing. The battalion as a whole was like Korea. It was split up, as far as I remember, because I had to get the mail like A, B company, A company, B company, C, D company, put it in a bag and take it away and put it in an aeroplane, and the aeroplane dropped it on the companies, you know, all whatever was, I didn't know exactly the location of the companies. Yes. But before I got this mail, I had to travel 90 miles to go to the post office, Army Post Office in Nairobi, in the morning,
yeah.
Travel 90 miles back, get all this mail sorted out, put in bags and take it to this aeroplane. So you can see that I had quite a long day.
Oh, yes.
And in between times, there was fellas want to send money home. Well, as such, I used to go to the civilian post office, the post office in Nairobi, and get a money order made out for their family and that, and pay over, and they would send it. And of course, another boys in the companies that didn't have stamps used to send their mail down with a colour stamp when they came down for rations. All these unstamped letters. So I used to, if I couldn't, I got the stamps in the civvy post office, and half the time I was letting stamps, putting on their letters, sending them back to their loved ones, you know, and counting out their money and sending their money home. Some of them came. I mean, I remember saying that, getting pound home to my mother and all that sort of thing, you know. I didn't like saying things like that, but, you know, genuine cases of my sisters.
Yes.
You know, way up that sort of thing. But I used to deal with that,
And then the battalion, what happened to the battalion after Korea, after Kenya?
Kenya, well, we were there about, that was over 2 years, was it? 54, I got fired. That was a terminology in them days that if you'd done any service in Germany, if you'd done 2 years, you got 6 months deducted off your overseas. You had to do 3 years overseas, so I was post-colonel, so they said, oh, well, you get the a few months prior, you didn't go home early before the battalion. I was undecided, but I had a wee bit of domestic problem, so I just opted to go. My mother wasn't well, actually.
What year was that?
That was 54. 1954.
So you came back to the UK?
I came back to the depot here, right? And I was there a few weeks. And the battalion, I was a few months here, and then I took over from a fellow who was a prisoner of war. He's finished his time, and he was going demobilised, so I took over the post corporal in the depot for a few months, and then when the regiment came back, they posted me back down to Kiel to take over and handle their mail, get the thing sorted out, you know, while the fellas was on leave again. And then it was there for a wee while, and then back to Germany again. No, sorry, I got posted to the... Oh no, I was back to... no, I'm confused. I had a bit of domestic problems, so I got demobbed. Not domestic, but, you know, family. My mother wasn't well on that, so I said, well, I better do it and, you know, see the things at home. So eventually she died within a few months, and I re-enlisted. Seen the colonel in the regiment, the depot there, because I'd only been away a few months, and then he took me back, and then I got posted back to the 1st again, and they amalgamated with the 2nd Battalion. That's
where
in 56.
Were they? Where in 56? Where were they then? Where was the 1st Battalion?
In 56?
Yeah.
That was in back to Berlin.
They were posted back to Berlin,
as far as I can remember. Aye, that's it. And I went with the 2nd Battalion to the depot here and joined them in Berlin. It was another barracks for them. What was it? Spandau Barracks. Not far from that Spandau prison.
And then I got on the list here, Cyprus.
Yeah, well, after I'd been with a few months, the agent decided that I had been, you know, he would give me a second to You know, the it's a lie. They were looking for a provost marshal. So I got sent there, and
I was there for over 2 years.
In the, with the HLR?
Well, that's why I've been in Old Barrington, yes. Blackwatch, you could, and all other regiments, Highland regiments here, Highland and Lowland, of course, yes. And you can see.
That you were there as a Blackwatch corporal?
Aye, and I got promoted to sergeant.
You were sergeant in the provost company?
No, provost sergeant at the gate, the main gate, regiment of police. And you can imagine, you know. I wouldn't hate it, but oh, if you were among all that lot, there was, you know. However, I was here over 2 years, and then the regiment was, I think they were down in England. Where was it? Oh, I forget. One of these training battalions, you know, in the Salisbury Plains or something like that, something like that. I can't know the details because I wasn't there, but anyway. One day I was going up checking regimental orders and, you know, the garrison orders, and there was me report to the main gate with your full FSMO. You know what that is? Full scale marching order, ready to join the 1st Battalion at Redford Barracks. So that was me posted back, and when I got there, I got put in the MT platoon. And,
still as a sergeant?
No, I had to drop a rank.
Corporal.
I wasn't such a back to my corporal, but I sent you training, a driving instructor, the ironical thing was, it's too good. I can remember the staff here saying, oh, they want to keep you here, you got an A in your course. Well, I says, no, it's one of these, Borden in Hampshire, I don't know if you've ever been there, Borden. But, you know, it was nice, the course and all that sort of thing. And I says, no, just give me the next one, I went back to the regiment. So when I got back to the regiment, the motor transport officer sent for me, he said, I want you to go with the advance party to the first Argyles in Cyprus. That's when we were posted to Cyprus, actually, but that was to be on the advance party and take over the petrol, you know, because in that time all the regiments used to, like the convoys or trucks used to come to this depot, like our depot, well, when we took over for their petrol and all that sort of thing. So I think the MTO knew me be an old soldier sort of thing. He would, I would do all the moves, but take it, you know, over equipment and all this sort of thing, and know what to look for. I'm saying no more than that, of course. Is that
you're still a corporal, wearing your red hackle, attached to the Argyles in Cyprus.
First Battalion Argyles, well, that wasn't the only one. The whole advanced party with Blackwatch. I mean, you had other boys taking over certain things, you know.
Yes.
But we were there, and they treated us very well, I must admit. And the funny thing is, there's a woman here in Perth, she got word that I was going to an advanced party, and she gave me a parcel to take over, you know, a food parcel, whatever was in it, to her husband. He was a colour sergeant in the Argyles. So here's me, plus my kit, plus this parcel for this colour sergeant in the first Argyles. But nice regiment, oh my.
And I wonder what we were just thinking about Cyprus. What are your memories of Cyprus itself?
The heat, and all the run about sweat, and you know, general security sort of thing, you know. I think for the first 6 months we were there, we were, you know, kept in the camp. I mean, you could never go out because, I mean, they were shooting at fellas in the back and everything. I mean, you know about the troubles there. I mean, and you couldn't tell very one to the other there, you know, the Greeks or the Turks. You know, I mean, they looked something similar. And they hated any British, the Greek people did at that time. I don't know their feelings now. And we had the Cyprus police too, of course, which was very efficient. Force, again, British. I don't know, was it the colonial police they call them? But it was the Cyprus police anyway. They were very efficient force, you know, the Cyprus police, yes. And, of course, once again, we were well led. We were, you know, although we didn't go out, we had, you know, entertainment in the camp, you know, an RFA and different things. Then things got a bit better once, near 1960. No, I got promoted to sergeant, that's right. I got put up to the sergeant's mess. That was it. And then I had trouble at home again. And that was me.
And you came back to Perth?
Perth, yeah.
In 1960?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And were you demobbed?
Demobbed, yeah, no. That's right.
So you had a world tour in a few short years.
Oh, and I think that was, well,
I don't know about the army now, but I think that was maybe, you know, there were different places to go then, and the, I don't know what, like, the comradeship and all that is there, but now, and then, do you see, we had fellas that was, you know, had served way before the war in India and all that, you know, in the 30s, and, you know, they passed all this knowledge on to you, you know. You know, and then part of them were in the canteen sort of thing, and, you know, a young soldier takes his cue off these fellas, you know what I mean? Boys are like yourself, being in the desert, and, you know, it was an experience to see all these boys, you know, when you rub shoulders with them, you know, boys that had seen a bit.
So it would be true to say that you had a eventful time, but wonderful memories.
Lovely memories. Well, a lot of, well, it can't be all wonderful. I mean, there were times you curse on your bed, I'm going to do this again, and this sort of thing, you know. But, however, it was first class as being a soldier sort of thing, you know. Well, my only regret is I should have just stayed on. But then this, all this other troubles was starting, and when I see it now, this island carrier and all, I says, no, I maybe never have survived that, you know. What's, well, the way they treat, I mean, I'm maybe talking off the record here. I'm going with this, the treatment they give to these you know, that young paratrooper, and these two Scots guardsmen, and on checkpoints and all that, I'm no, you know, I'm saying that they get tried in a civil court. I mean, I'm not familiar with the laws of the army now, but what got me, I says, we were loyalty, you know, were colonel of the regiment, and we looked up to him for anything trouble, and he also looked, well, all officers or senior ranks, right down the lowest job, depended on one another, and, you know what I mean, whether an action or whatever. So my way of thinking is maybe all wrong for the way they think now.
Yes. You know? Tell me, looking now back as a veteran, with a lot of good service, and so forth, how do you regard the regiment? What do you think about the regiment?
Oh, I think there's nothing. Well, I would have to have been in it and met the marvellous people, you know, from the lowest to the highest, you know. And as I said, we were always well led, even, you know, for the colonel, right down the, you know, for the platoon officers, platoon commanders, young officers, right down to companies, sergeant majors, sergeants, platoon corporals, right down the line. And depending on one another in your barrack room, the barrack room life was, you know, first class. I mean, because we depended on one another. You know, when you're in action and you know what each one was going to do, and you know what I mean? And you're living with a fella long enough, as you probably know, you know you can depend on him. You know what I mean? Dependence is a, you know what I mean? And of course, loyalty to the regiment and that sort of thing, aye.
So you regard it as a family?
Oh, definitely, most definitely, no.
And you enjoy coming to the annual reunion?
Oh, yes. Oh, and I like to, as I was coming down here, I met, oh, he's got a walking stick now. He was in Cyprus, and I was just, every time I see him, I always say, stand by your bed, you know. And he sort of springs the attention around, oh, he's in his 70s, but he sort of turns it, and he does the drill, you know. Stand at attention, stand by your bed, you know. That sort of thing,
Well,
that's what a greeting to one another.
That was all absolutely first class, James.
Was it? Well.